Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And I thank the Lord that He is opening the eyes of those that love Him. Opening the eyes of those that love Him. Enabling them to see what they normally do not see. When this happens for you, meet it with faith. Always meet not just faith, with also with trust. I want you to consider something. How can we go to the next glory? And we need to go to the next glory all the time, whenever we can. We need to go to the next glory. But if we judge everything by what we already understand, you may not trust the next glory. Even though you have peace, even though it increases your joy, even though the Lord brought it to your attention. People are depending on every child of God to go to the next glory. Unfortunately, most of the time, people of God don't go to the next glory. And that's our problem. And I say our problem because we're lacking knowledge that we don't have to lack. Joel said that your sons and daughters will prophesy. When people are in obedience to God, many problems become solved. There is no poverty in full obedience to God. No poverty can remain when there's full obedience to God. All problems will be solved when there's full obedience to God over time. Full obedience to God cannot happen unless you trust Him, unless you have faith in Him and also trust Him. Because many times people have faith in God and they do great wonders. I say this all the time. Nothing wrong with repetition. The Lord teaches us precept upon precept, line upon line, repetition. So a lot of times I say things over and over again, different ways, but that's how we learn. That's how we become who we are in Christ. That's how we become Christ-like. When the Lord opens your eyes to the next glory, you have to walk in it. You have to go through that door. And you have to believe it. And in order to go through that door, you have to trust God. So when the Lord opens your eyes to something, exposes a need to you, it's your duty to go forward. People are counting on you. And some of the people that are counting on you will tell you not to go in there. And that's the truth. Sad to say. Now, we all know that you have to meet the things of God by faith. We understand that. But also trust. Trust helps us to make the decision to go where we normally wouldn't. Now, there are many times that people had to jump the line and go beyond culture as they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord always keeps us ahead of the curve, so to speak, or ahead of what Satan's doing. Satan organizes culture to be at a stalemate. You have to understand that. And this is the problem that it took me so long to figure out. I didn't figure it out. I'm sorry I said it that way. It took me so long to come to the understanding. The Lord had to reveal it to me several different ways before I got it. That's the best way to put it. I used to wonder why people didn't follow God to God's specifications. It puzzled me. I expected men of faith that were hearing from God to fully obey God to His specifications. And I'm talking about when before you make a decision out of your mind, you ask the Lord and He give you what to do and you do it. Now, sometimes people will hear from God will tell them to do it and they would reason with it ask their friend, ask their other pastor friends, and they'll come up with something else. Or they'll go to the council, you know, the advisors in church, and they, the board, that's what I want to use, the board. They'll go to the board. They have a board meeting, and it always leads to boredom if you don't, if you leave out the guidance of God. And people will tell you what they think. I watch Christians do this so many times, so many ways. And it's not limited to age. It's not limited to gender. And it's not limited to race. I've seen so many people. Somebody will say what God said, told them to do. And immediately, and there's no time lapse. It's faster than turbo lag. Somebody will say, well, I feel like this should be done. There was no praying. People will spout out just like that what they think without prayer. I would have felt a whole lot better if I saw people say, you know, I'm going to pray about this. They didn't do that. They immediately, they say what need to be said or what they believe is true. And guess what? Brother pastor go with it. I've seen too many times. I've seen people make decisions. I know God didn't give it to them because it's not. I know what the Lord was saying. And I know what, you know, when you have a comparison, I can't have a comparison unless God give me something. And God, he taught me, one time he taught me a protocol. He said, when churches grow, they got to separate people, just like Barnabas and Saul, and start another work. Once the church is mature enough and go forward. Well, I seen two pastors in the, I guess it was the 90s. They tried to merge. I knew that wasn't going to work, but they did it anyway. Not just, you know, I love both of these guys. I love them. But God, it just showed me that you have to branch out, not branch in. Bushes don't do that. Bushes and trees, they branch out. The branches go out. A healthy church produces fruit. The Lord purges it. It brings forth more fruit. And then a healthy church, when you see people become ministers, and then the Lord sent them out to do greater works. Other places, that's a healthy church. And it's always a challenge to do something you've never done before. You branch out. Bushes and trees and plants don't branch in. They branch out. Okay. But the next glory is necessary and people are counting on you. Now, I told my wife, I said, when you seek the Lord for something, that means you don't know what the answer is. Or you're asking the Lord to make sure that you're making the best choice. We can have ideas and opinions. But the proverb says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. See, the problem with our own understanding is it's not complete. It can look complete. It can look fine to me. But that doesn't mean it's complete. I ask the Lord questions that I think I know the answer to. And sometimes he showed me things that I didn't see. See, he told me once, he said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. And I want to break that down. When he said that, I said, what else am I missing out on? He answered one of my questions. I said, Lord, I keep having the same problem in business. I don't know how to solve it. And he told me what to do. I think he told me to chart what I'm doing and make an outline, you know, make a plan what I do. And even the way I travel, make everything that I'm on. If I go in a direction, make sure that I make stops along the way that I need to make so that I can have more time in my day. You know, if a parts store is in the direction I'm going, before I just go out there and go to the check a car, go ahead and pick up parts while you're en route. That saves time. You know, make plans. But he told me things that I knew would work. And I said, Lord, I need to know that a long time ago. Why didn't you show me then? Months ago. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. Then I had this question. I said, what else am I missing out on? That's when I made that vow. My famous vow, my blessed vow. I'm glad I made it. I said, Lord, I'm going to obey you. Whatever you say, I'm going to do, whether I like it or not, whether I love it or not, whether I hate it or not, I'm going to obey you. He remembered. And that's why I went forward when I normally wouldn't have. That's what I was talking about in yesterday's broadcast. Today is December the 15th, 2021. And the broadcast I'm referring to was done on the 13th. I skipped yesterday. But anyway, and it was called False Limitations. But anyway, continuing on, when the Lord told me this, I said, what else am I missing out on? So I started seeking him. When I knew, when I made plans, I would say, Lord, is this a good plan? Should I add something or take away something? What should I do? And I wait and let him tell me. All right, now when you know what to do, you can do that. And then whatever he say, that'll be your wisdom. That's when you mix whatever he say, mix faith with it and trust it. And lock it down in your heart and use it. Don't let people talk you out of it. And don't take it before the board as if it's an open idea. That's your protocol. Present to them, you know, I would present to them, this is what the Lord gave. If they can't add to it, then that's what we're going to do. And I love fail-safes. But see, you can't let what God give you drop. There is safety in a multitude of counsel. But let everybody be in faith with what God has given. Now, this is the thing. It goes back to what James said in James chapter 3. See, the wisdom of God is perfect. He thinks of everything. And it is safety in a multitude of counselors, as long as they are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. If they're full of foolishness, no, that's not a counselor. But anyway, James chapter 3, verse 17, he said, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. This is how you know what's of the Holy Ghost and what's not. Then he said the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. People that have good intentions. Let's look at it again. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's not false. It's not harmful. It's not going to shame somebody. Then peaceable. It doesn't take revenge. It's not trying to shame someone. It's not trying to upstage someone. It's not trying to downplay someone. It's gentle. It's for everybody's growth. It's for everybody's blessing. It's gentle. It's to help everybody. Not just ourselves, but the people that God sent us to. Easy to be entreated. It's easily understood. It bears witness with the Holy Spirit. Tares won't agree. But the wheat and the barley will. Full of mercy. It has compassion, wisdom that's from above. It's after our redemption. Good fruits. It show people that you can multiply now. If you correct it, you can multiply. Good fruits. without partiality. You're included. You're not excluded. The wisdom of God is not trying to exclude you. It's trying to include you and bless you. And it's without hypocrisy. It doesn't say one thing and do another. This is how you judge what comes from the Holy Ghost. It's notable. It's notably right. So, when God gives you a protocol, it's your friend. It's going to bless you. It's going to take you forward. You can, you know, the things of God come to help us. So, when we hear from Him, it's a treasure. He's given us treasure. That's how it's to be embraced. It's not supposed to be debated upon and forgotten. Now, when I told my wife, when you're asking the Lord for something and you don't know the answer, then you don't have the answer. That's why you had to ask the Lord. If you had the answer, you wouldn't have had to ask. But it's good to run your answers by them. We covered that. But if the answer's not in you, you don't have the answer. So when the Lord gives you the answer, embrace it with faith. If you don't like the answer and you didn't have the answer in the first place, what makes you think you can judge the answer? This is why people, this is a common problem. This is something I had to learn to deal with. When I didn't like the answer or didn't understand it, I'd ask more questions. Do research. Search the Word. Search the Scriptures. When the Lord told, He told me some things that was true. See, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And sometimes the truth is more than what you would expect or is different than how you think. So I went and did research. You know, when it came to divorce, the Lord taught me, He told me about things that would happen. And I said, I had to go research to see if God could tell me something like that. And when I studied, I got educated on the subject. And I was able to stick with what God gave me. So, it's something that you have to understand. God is with you. He shows you the truth of things. He shows you things. And again, it's pure. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's real. People make decisions and stick with it. And God will show you what's going on. So you'll have understanding. If everybody did what was right or everybody did goodness, some things, you know, it'll be easier. But sin is here, out there. Things are going on that you can't see, and the Lord will show it to you. So when God does, when He helps you understand something, you have to meet it with faith. You have to receive it. And then you believe it or trust it. And I say believe it or trust it because believe leads to faith. And trusting, when you trust it, you may not see it right now, but that's what you act on. When you act on trust, it becomes faith. When you act on what you believe, it becomes faith. See, the devils believe and tremble, but they don't have faith. They don't act on God's word. And they have no covenant with Him. They're enemies. But we're not. We are redeemed, those that believe. So you can believe on Jesus, but it doesn't do anything until you act on it. When you speak it, I believe on Jesus. Paul said it this way, "Who are you, Lord?" From that moment, he was a changed man. "Who are you, Lord?" He called him Lord. He believed. You can't call him Lord if you don't believe it. He knew he was Lord. "Who are you, Lord?" And when he said, "Jesus, why do you persecute me?" And then he lived a repentant life from that moment on. When when you believe and you act on it, when you speak it, however you speak it, now it's faith. Faith is an act. Thanks to Smith Wigglesworth. It is. It's an action verb. An action verb. You can't have, when you speak it, it's on. It's action. It's always on. Just like electricity. When you turn the switch on, the electricity flows. Patience is a waiting faith. When you have to wait on things to form and develop, your faith keeps it on. Just like Daniel's decision to not eat anything tasty till he knew what that vision was. His faith was on and heaven was in operation. He loosed something in this realm and the devil tried to stop it. The demons, the principalities of Persia, the king of Persia tried to stop it. But Daniel's faith was on. He couldn't see what was going on in the heavenly realm. And Gabriel was bringing him the information, and Michael helped him fight. It took 23 days. But his faith was on. As long as his faith was on, they were in operation to bring him the message. If he gave up, then Gabriel would have took the message back to God. That's what I believe anyway. It wouldn't have went to Daniel unless Daniel kept his faith on. And that's how we have to meet the Lord with we have to receive what he says, keeping our faith on from the moment he give it to us without wavering. Because if you let doubt get in the picture and unbelief, then you release it and then it's over. You'll stay like you are and you'll never know God. You'll walk away sorrowful like the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, I wish he would have followed through and obeyed Jesus' every commandment, just like he did with the others. He wanted to, but he walked away sorrowful because he loved the riches more than he loved Jesus. And he didn't know what was ahead. But if he would have just said, oh, I'm going to do this. If he had done that, man, we would have been reading about the things that he wrote. Because God, the Lord called him, come and follow me. He would have been one of the he would have been an apostle. He would have been a disciple. He would have been doing things. Who knows what he would have done? But that road is gone. That destiny is not, it didn't happen. It's not in time. Only Jesus knows what would have happened. Or whoever he revealed it to. But in everybody who gave God their everything, you can see what God did with them. In Acts chapter 2, we see Peter saying, this is that. His eyes were open. He went with it. He received the Holy. He did everything Jesus said to do. He got over all his anxieties. He denied the Lord 3 times. He repented. He strengthened his brothers. He believed on Jesus. He received the Holy Spirit within. On the day of Pentecost, he received the Holy Spirit upon him. And when the people started speaking in tongues and in other languages, he didn't try to shut it down. He said, this is that. This is what the prophet Joel talked about. This was something that was new to everybody. And what Joel said came to pass. See? And it happened, and they experienced it, and they could see the wisdom in it, but the proud didn't like it. The proud people didn't like it, and people spoke in tongues, and they spoke in other languages, and. People from everywhere heard it. And Peter knew what it was because the Lord revealed something to him and he saw it. He understood it. And he preached it. And what was it? 3,000 people got saved. And you know, I hope it was, they just counted the men again like they did in the that was their pattern anyway, to count the men and their families. But it says souls, so maybe that is just 3,000 souls, counting everybody. But I would rather for it to be more than that, just like I always would. Of course I would. But God loves us. And he wants to do great things in our lives. He wants us to see what he sees. And he wants us to know what he knows. You know, people, this can only work with people of faith. Listen to this. This is Joel chapter 2. I'm just going to start at verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, will I pour out my spirit. You know, I could just see this verse 29. And also upon thy servants and upon thy handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. I can just see the old Jewish mind. They used to only the prophets and kings and priests hearing from the Lord. And now their servants and their handmaids, after he said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men dream dreams. This was just not in their wheelhouse. If they had a board of directors, they would have said, this could not be. If they had a deacon board, they would not vote on this. No, it's just not the way it was. But see, they don't know who God is. When people vote out the things of God, they're doing the same thing, just like in my example here. We see the necessity. Even now, sometimes I heard of a pastor saying he didn't want anybody in his church to give him a word. I didn't hear him say it. One of his members told me that. I said, man, that ain't good. God, see, when you limit the Holy Spirit, you don't know what you're limiting. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what would happen if somebody tell me not to ever give them a word again? And you sent me to them and they said, look, don't ever give me a word again. He said, I will require them to act on everything they should have acted on. And you know, when you do that, that's just like telling God, don't talk to me. It's the same thing. But nevertheless, I don't look at people. I don't just look at people that prophesy as just being men of God or women of God. Whoever God chooses to use is fine with me. Some people, their life would be a whole lot better if they didn't have that kind of pride. That's the only thing I know of that'll hold it back. Some people, they don't like for people younger than them to prophesy. Some people are stuck on men. Only men can prophesy to me. That's wrong. I have heard some wonderful prophecies from women, children, men, boys, girls, and they didn't even know they were prophesying sometimes. The Lord used people to answer my questions. They didn't know they were prophesying. I thank God for everybody who yields to the Holy Spirit. Let's look at this again. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And, you know, when people make declarations of pride, bad things happen. Things that shouldn't happen, happen. And it did to people that do that. Now, again, so Peter, He led us into a crossover. He led us into the next glory. He introduced the baptism of the Holy Spirit to everybody. He did a greater work than Jesus right here in Acts chapter 2. But also in Acts chapter 10, it was time to do it again. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a certain centurion, the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one, Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And the angel which spake to Cornelius was departed. He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. He didn't argue with the Holy Spirit. He acted on what he said. And you know the story. We're almost out of time. God gave Peter three dreams. And Peter, it was revealed to Peter that it was that the Gentiles, not only would they be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, but they will be equal in the kingdom of God. So here again, Peter is going to usher them into the next glory. Let us all be people that God can give us adjustments and we enter into the next glory.